This morning I'll be talking about the evolution of LGBTQ rights in the context of this congregation. When I mentioned that I was planning to do this service, Doug Fevin volunteered to help me with the research. And then he absolutely overwhelmed me with information that he gathered and organized and presented me in a very useful way. Thank you, Doug, for doing that. While Doug's work made this service possible, I take full responsibility for the inevitable errors and omissions that occur when you take on such a big topic for a 20-minute service. I also must acknowledge that those like Alan and Sandra Clark, Heather and Derek Watts, Marie Davis, Alan and Leslie Shaw, who were members of this congregation during the period that I'm talking about, I wish I had had more time to talk with them in preparing for the service. Much of what I have to say this morning will be old news to many of you, and to others it will be entirely new. Remember that brief description of Tisha B'Av that I gave during the welcoming? A Jewish religious tradition passed down over 2,600 years. It's important for communities to remember their past, to know where they have come from. Granted, it's a bit of a leap to compare the recounting of the last 50 years of our history with 2,600 years of Jewish history, but you have to start somewhere. I like to think that 2,550 years from now, the minister of this church will be reading what went on here today. I find it useful to frame much of what church is about in terms of relationships. I was moved deeply by reading the clippings that Doug provided from our old church newsletter and reports. There were names that are very familiar to me, and names that I've heard. And then there were many other names that I'm not familiar with. Many of the people doing the work of this church, as reported in those documents, have since died, including the Reverend Fred Gillis. Someday, if we do a good job, someone will be reading the records of this church in 2018, and they'll find our names there, yours and mine, people doing good for the community and the world. And that is as it should be. The period addressed here today is from the mid-1960s to the mid-1970s. It was a tumultuous time in many ways, and specifically for issues of how our society would view human sexuality. The roots of the revolution of LGBTQ rights are to be found in the sexual revolution of the 1960s. It was a revolution that would overthrow 2,000 years of Judeo-Christian culture. And the speed of that revolution is breathtaking. Here is where we were in March 1967. The Unitarian Universalist Committee on Goals published the results of a survey that it had taken on beliefs and attitudes within our denomination. Now, admittedly, this survey was done largely with U.S.-based congregations. But at that time, we were part of the UUA. They found that 7.7% of Unitarians believed that homosexuality should be discouraged by law. But 80.2% said that it should be discouraged by education. 12% that it should be discouraged by law or education. And 0.1% said that it should be encouraged. We've come a long way. Very quickly. Homosexuality was essentially decriminalized in the United Kingdom in 1967. In Canada in 1969. And in the United States in a long drawn out state-by-state process between 1962 and 2003. And I think there are court cases going on today. The first ordained minister of a major religious group in the U.S. or Canada to come out as gay was UU minister James Stoll in 1969, the same year that Fred Gillis became the minister of this church in Halifax. That's a picture of Fred, I think, sometime after he left here. He subsequently passed on. But I feel after just this little bit of research that I was able to do with Doug's help, I need to know more about Fred Gillis. In July 1970, so Fred came to the church late, I think September 69. In July of 1970, the General Assembly of the Unitarian Universalist Association passed a motion to end discrimination against homosexuals and bisexuals and called on congregations to develop sex education programs that promote healthy attitudes towards all forms of sexuality. The spark that ignited this initiative was the Stonewall Riots in the United States. These were a reaction to a police raid that took place in the early morning hours of June 28, 1969, at the Stonewall Inn in Greenwich Village in Manhattan, New York City. Following the recommendations of that 1970 report, in 1971, the UUA published a curriculum for youth entitled About Your Sexuality, which presented a more positive attitude towards homosexuality and bisexuality. So that was published in 1971. It astounds me that in 1971, the same year the curriculum was issued, Fred Gillis reported, "We in Halifax have ordered the new RE curriculum unit, About Your Sexuality." And Reverend Gillis went on to say, "Those using this controversial new unit are expected to attend special training sessions. Jean Navius of the UUA Department of Education has agreed to run such a training session in our area if enough people attend. Accordingly, we're planning an RE training session to be held in Halifax during the weekend of September the 17th. All those in the New Brunswick Fellowship interested in using this sexuality unit will be invited to attend." And by September of that year, the first training sessions were being offered. I can't read that from where I am, but it says, this was September, about 18 people from our church and from the New Brunswick Fellowship have already signed up for the workshop on the curriculum unit About Our Sexuality. By October, the course was underway. Now we have, actually, read that. 13 teenagers, 6 girls and 7 boys attended the first meeting of the course About Your Sexuality, led by Fred Gillis and Cynthia Davis. And that's the Cynthia Davis that left a bequest to the church that allowed us to rebuild our kitchen completely and start our building fund for this church. Her spirit is with us today. By the next year, Fred Gillis was leading classes based on About Your Sexuality for Dalhousie University students. And those classes were here in our church. And about that time, the LGBTQ community in Halifax was getting organized as the Gay Alliance for Equality. And the church became a location for their meetings. One of the slides talks about the fact that it came up at a board meeting, that we had a request for these meetings, and the other slide is from a newsletter from the Gay Alliance with dates for meetings that were being held here at the church. The Gay Alliance would soon be lobbying the provincial government, and Reverend Fred Gillis would be writing letters of support. This sea change was not without internal political struggles. We have to remember the context in the USA. It was also a time of the civil rights movement in the USA, and the Vietnam War, and all these things were competing for resources. In June of 1973, the General Assembly of the UUA voted to create the Office of Gay Affairs, create the office and to fund it so that it would be staffed with gay people. The move was opposed by then president of the UUA, but it was passed by the Board of Trustees by a vote of 12 to 11. Here are some comments from Fred Gillis. That's not going to work. You can read that.
Yes.
Can't you? While all this was going on, Fred Yellis and Cynthia Davis and other members of the congregation were continuing their groundbreaking work in Halifax. One of the things that astounded me, we got smiles when we mentioned Cynthia Davis, when we were looking at these announcements and reading old reports from the board, 1974, Alan Clark's name is coming up as property chairman. And if you don't know, Alan Clark is still property chairman of this church. But meanwhile, Reverend Yellis and Cynthia Davis and other members of the congregation were continuing their groundbreaking work in Halifax. Here's a note from Fred Yellis. I've just completed my term on the board of the Metro Area Family Planning Association. Fred Yellis was instrumental in founding the local Family Planning Association. And I've been working with the committee proposing a broad program of sex education in the school in Halifax. My experience with UUA produced kit About Your Sexuality has made me somewhat of an authority in the field of sex education. I've spent a great deal of time leading discussions with various groups and advising others on ways to use this material. In January, this is amazing. In January, Cynthia Davis and I conducted 10-hour training sessions on the use of this kit for 20 teachers, parents, family planning people, and youth workers. I repeated the session in March with a similar group in Fredericton. The sexuality kit has been purchased and is now being used by the Family Planning Association in several youth and adult programs and by the Dalhousie Department of Education in a training program for teachers. The UUA has done a great service in producing this much-needed material. And Fred Yellis and the members of this congregation provided a much-needed service in presenting this material in Halifax. This congregation in Halifax and the Unitarian Universalist faith tradition would be forever transformed by the work started here in the late 60s. I'm struck by the awe, and I'm struck and awed by the courage and the energy and the initiative of this congregation at this critical time in our history. There was so much going on. Reading the material that Doug brought together paints a picture of people working closely in community and forging relationships within the church and outside of the church. The story of the evolution of LGBTQ rights is a story of relationship. Jiddu Krishnamurti, the Indian spiritual leader closely associated with our faith, wrote these words. Relationship surely is the mirror in which you discover yourself. Without relationship, you are not. To be is to be related. To be related is existence. And you exist only in relationship, otherwise you do not exist. Existence has no meaning outside of relationship. It's not because you think you are that you come into existence. You exist because you are related. And it is the lack of understanding of relationship that causes conflict. Here ends the quote. All religion, all spirituality, all human identity is a function of our relationships. Be they a relationship with God, a relationship with a higher power of your understanding, a relationship with nature, perhaps most importantly, a relationship with your neighbors. As Krishnamurti has said, you exist in relationship. Otherwise, you do not exist. For too long, our society denied the legitimate relationships, the very existence of the LGBTQ community. And this resistance was rooted in a calcified understanding of human sexuality that still holds us back today. A person denied honest, open, trusting, and loving relationships early in their life can suffer consequences in the form of crippling self-doubt, shame, and the inability to connect with the people and the world around them. Today and throughout Pride Week in Halifax, we're celebrating the diversity of genuine and honest human relationships. This week we celebrate the fact that every human being needs to be affirmed, affirmed in their wholeness and in their holiness. We all need that affirmation of honest and supportive and loving relationships, relationships in which we do not wear masks, relationships where we are loved for exactly who we are as we are. Sometimes we may despair for all the injustice and suffering in the world, and there is much work that is left to be done. But today and this week, we celebrate the enlightenment of our time, a time of increasing recognition of blessings of diversity in all its forms. May we take this message, the blessing of the diversity of human relationships, into our hearts today, this week, and always. And may we build the relationships with our neighbors that recognize and affirm and celebrate the existence of all in our diverse communities and nations. May it be so. Amen.